Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today, as always, by my slightly irritating husband, Miko Alon.
Hi, guys.
We won't go into why you're irritating right now. We'll save that for later, but rest assured. Okay. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We have a great show in store for you today. We're going to open up the show talking a lot about politics and current events. Another crazy week in America that we're going to cover. And then we're going to move on to the new vegan products segment. This week, we'll be tasting new vegan milk chocolate by Endangered Species. This is the first vegan milk chocolate that I've ever tried that uses oat milk. So I'm super excited about that. And then we'll be closing out the show with vegan animal rights news. Now, before we get started, I just want to encourage everyone, if you want to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do so on Twitter. I am at VeganAri. Miko is at Miko Alon, or use the hashtag VeganAriShow. And remember, if you like our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you like our show, we're trying to get the word out there about it these days a little more. So if you want to give us a shout on your own socials, on a Facebook post or a tweet or a retweet, that would be greatly appreciated. So thank you for that. Now, Miko, let's get down to business, because like I said, there's a lot to cover. As we expected, Trump has been acquitted on both counts of impeachment. We knew that was going to happen. I think the only real surprise was that Mitt Romney stood up and actually voted to convict him on one count of impeachment, which was the abuse of power. I mean, we knew this was going to happen, but it's still so disheartening and depressing as an American that it seems to be what the Republicans are saying is like, yeah, we know he did it. Like, they're not trying to say that he's innocent of the crime. And so it really does. I mean, we've now really crossed that threshold of saying that the president is above the law, that it doesn't apply to him the way that it would or should apply to everyone else. And so I think we move that much closer to, I don't know, becoming a dictatorship. Someone described it. I read a piece in The Atlantic that I thought was really astute, where they called us an authoritarian democracy. And they were comparing what's happening in the United States to what happened in Hungary about 10 years ago. And if you can find the article, read it. It's very chilling. But I do think we are slowly eroding the rule of law and some of the very institutions that has kept our constitutional democracy in check for the last 243 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think we see a very similar example. Poland is another illiberal democracy. I think everyone's sort of sliding down the road toward Russia, which is a pretend democracy.
Right, where you have this illusion of democracy and there's actually elections, but the fact is that the party in power really does have ultimate power.
Right. The elections are either fixed or mechanisms are in place to basically nullify their impact. I do want to go back to Mitt Romney, because let me first say that as listeners of this show know, I have rarely had anything good to say about Mitt Romney. But I do want to give credit, because I think a lot of people said, so what does it matter? Was it just political theater? I do think it took extraordinary courage and principled action on Romney's part, because you have to remember that the rest of the Republican Party is now proven to be a Jonestown cult of Donald Trump. And you saw instantly after he said that he's going to vote to convict, the number one trending hashtag on Twitter became Recall Romney. And there was this instant backlash and commentary from Republicans. And I think it was because Romney said in his remarks that he takes his oath seriously. And I also love the fact that he says that he's making this decision before God. This is to the party that always invokes God and they're so pious. And yet all these people serve a treasonous criminal and lockstep voted to acquit him. So I do want to applaud Mitt Romney, unlike some of the other senators who pretended to be interested in the future of our country's democracy. I think we're going to see Mitt Romney, I think, emerge as a lone spearhead for whatever sane remnant may exist among Republicans. I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves the party, frankly.
Yeah, I really think that was definitely a moment that will go down in American history if America actually survives, I do think that that will go down as a moment of courage and integrity. And like you, I mean, I basically disagree with Mitt Romney on pretty much everything, but that was really striking to see. And you saw also in the wake of the acquittal, certain Republicans like Marco Rubio, for example, trying to make excuses for why he did what he did. And it's like, you know what, man? Fuck you. This is the thing now. You are all in on Trump. All of you. Every Republican senator, save for Mitt Romney, and every Republican congressperson who voted against impeachment, and they all did, every Republican, you are all in on Trump. You bought it. Now you own it. So whatever happens with him, this is on you. You had an opportunity to hold this criminal, corrupt piece of trash accountable to the law, and you said, fuck it. You put your party over your country. You totally disgraced yourself by not upholding your oath, and now you own this trash. So whatever happens, it's on you. That's the whole thing about checks and balances, is that, you know, if you have a president who is wildly criminal and corrupt and all this stuff, we are supposed to be able to hold that person accountable, and they totally fucked it. And by fucking it, they fucked all of us. They fucked the country. So we'll see what's going to happen. I don't know. I mean, we have an election coming up in November. It's not a fair election, but hopefully enough Americans are appalled by what they're seeing. And if we have enough people come out and vote, I think that'll make it virtually impossible for them to steal. And then we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's a really sad time to be an American. I really am so, it's horrible. I mean, I don't want to give up hope completely, because like I said, we have this election coming up, and like I said, I just hope that there's enough Americans out there watching this going, wow, we have really gone off a fucking cliff.
Yeah, one last bit about Romney, which is that we should note that his vote is the very first in American history of a bipartisan vote to convict an impeached president. He's the first person to ever vote to basically convict the president of their own party. So it is quite historic.
It is. It's historic. And he should be, you know, he should be lauded for being literally the one person of courage and integrity, at least on this issue, in that party. The rest of them are all in on Trump. They are the party of Trump. And to me, the event that happened this week that really, I mean, honestly, I was so angry over this the other day that I didn't know what to do with myself. It was like one of those things where I felt so much anger and rage. So in the wake of him getting acquitted, the very next day, he fired Lieutenant Colonel Vindman from the White House. They reassigned him or whatever. And not just Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, his twin brother also got fired. And then he fired Sondland, the ambassador to the EU. And I thought, this is exactly what you get. This is a vindictive, disgusting, worthless piece of trash who, I mean, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, can we just go back to who this person is? This is someone who served in our military, who has shrapnel in his body, defending America overseas, okay? This is a Purple Heart recipient. And he gets fired by President Bone Spurs, this fucking draft-dodging, criminal, corrupt piece of trash. He gets fired by him because he was subpoenaed by Congress and merely did his job and told the truth and was honest under oath. And this man gets fired. And it, to me, it just really highlights how unjust this whole process has been, that this man gets let go from his post, but that criminal, racist, despicable garbage in the White House gets to stay. And that is also on the Republicans, because I saw Rubio and others being like, oh, we don't really like that he did that. Well, you know what? That's on you, motherfuckers. That is on you.
Can we just talk about how pathetic, like, Marco Rubio is making almost every day, it seems like, a new acrobatic display on how much a person can be without spine. He actually tried to say, well, Vindman wasn't exactly fired.
I saw that.
He's, he still has a job in the military. He was just removed from his post. I mean, how pathetic can you get?
You...
I mean, if we think about, again, the fact that this was clearly done in retaliation. Both the Vindman brothers and Sondland were fired in retaliation for them basically responding to a congressional subpoena. Can we just point out again that in a nation of laws,
that's
if anyone
law.
Else had done
right.
it, it would be illegal.
That's you, right.
And remember when there was concern expressed after Vindman testified, the Pentagon issued an official letter saying, no, 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 there will be no retaliation and we'll protect him. Well, all of that went out the window. And I just feel like every passing week, we are normalizing the abnormal. And this is how we slide into this kind of authoritarian future.
Yes. And this is what dictators do. This is what authoritarian leaders do. They require loyalty above everything else, whether it means that you have to break the law and follow them into the pits of hell. That's all they want. And this guy, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, this guy has honor. This guy was trying to follow the law. You know, this guy was just doing what was required of him by his country. And this is how he gets treated. And I think that this is also highlights the true character or complete lack of character of Donald Trump. And that the Republicans are behind him 110%. And I think it is an absolute outrage and a disgrace.
And can we just say, never again can the Republican Party pretend to be the party that supports our troops.
Exactly.
They basically betrayed our troops for this orange criminal treasonous garbage sack.
That's right. That's right. I mean, how can you say that you support veterans when you stand by and allow a draft dodging piece of trash president to fire a Purple Heart recipient who's serving in the White House? How dare you?
And
for doing nothing, for just following
and
the law.
Just not just a
right.
drab dodging piece of shit, a compromised Putin licking, you know, treasonous piece of shit whose entire presidency has been defined by doing Putin's agenda and then putting his own interests before the country's. This is who the Republicans are protecting. This is who they've become.
This made me so angry the other day because I kept thinking of when he testified before Congress and how he said, because his parents were immigrants from the Ukraine. And he said, you know, that the doing the right thing matters in America, that it didn't matter in the old country, that it was, you know, a lot of corruption and whatever, but that it matters here. And I just thought about how we have failed people like that. And we have failed the ideals that this country is supposed to stand on, you know, things like justice and rule of law and truth. And it breaks my heart. Like, maybe I'm being naive. Maybe I'm just whatever. But like, to watch this man get fired by somebody like Trump and to watch an entire political party back him, back Trump, it just goes to me. It's just so antithetical to what America is supposed to be. They bought this shit. Marco Rubio, Susan Collins, Murkowski, all you fucking people, you bought this shit. This is on you now. You voted to acquit him. Now this is on you. So whatever happens over the next, I don't know how long until the election, 7 months, 8 months, and then if he's reelected, this is on them as much as it's on him. It is absolutely a fucking disgrace.
And this does, I mean, you mentioned the old country at the time when the Vindmans left the Ukraine. It was a part of the Soviet Union. And this, isn't there something about this impeachment trial that does kind of harken back to the Soviet era show trials?
Yeah.
And
it's a sham trial.
Granted, the rules of the impeachment trial are a little bit different from traditional trials, but I want to again indict Chief Justice John Roberts for his complete failure during these proceedings. At the very least, like in this proceeding, just so people know, whatever his rulings are, they can be outvoted by a simple majority of senators. But he should have at least, in a gesture to history, have declared a mistrial before the vote. Because we knew that the jury in this case was compromised, openly, willingly colluding with the quote-unquote defense attorneys of this criminal president. This was a sham proceeding, and it will be, as you said, if there is...
Yeah, if
America
survives,
this will be one of the most shameful chapters in American history.
Absolutely. And not just because we all knew, everyone knew that there was evidence that wasn't allowed in the trial. Witnesses were not called. It was a total sham.
Let's just mention that again. I mean, in a trial that's supposed to be a search for the truth, the Republicans blocked witnesses and documents that could have gotten us there, shut the shit down so that they were just opening statements. And on their side, those statements consisted entirely, singularly, only of lies. That is what the Republican Party has done to the judicial process in this country.
It's just, you know, like I said, we all knew it was going to happen. But now that it happened and then like the aftermath of Vindman getting fired and whatever, I was enraged. I just felt like this is going to be, if we survive, it's going to be one of the saddest, most shameful moments in American history. Now, I want to talk also because like the day or so after he was acquitted, Congress invited him to give the State of the Union, which I don't even know why they invited him to do that, this impeached, disgraceful president. But whatever, he came, he gave his speech, which was basically like a Trump rally. It was not so much a State of the Union as it was a stump speech. And then after his speech, Nancy Pelosi tore up the speech on camera. And that really then became the story.
Of course. You know why it became the story? It became the story because the only things that Republicans pretend to care about are gestures. Ultimately, you know, when they find them offensive, things that are just meaningless gestures. The party that has basically torn up the Constitution and wiped its ass with it now pretends to be concerned that Nancy Pelosi tore up a speech. Did you see Donald Trump said it's a criminal act to destroy federal records? Obviously, it's not, but it's just the moral sewer of the Republican Party feigning now outrage over something like that. Oh, it was something else.
Well, I want to read a tweet by this actor, Max von Essen, that I feel like encapsulated my thoughts exactly with regards to Pelosi tearing up the speech. He said, "Alert me when Speaker Pelosi sexually assaults someone, mocks the disabled, tears a child from their parents, pays off a porn star, insults a Gold Star family, calls Nazis fine people, denies science, steals from a charity, or starts a fake university. Until then, take a seat." And I think that's exactly it. It's fucking false outrage. It's just bullshit. I think that her, you know, the act of tearing up the speech, I think that was actually a good thing because I feel like this is the age that we live in, where like gestures like that and cheap shots and whatever are the only things that seem to get covered in the media. So I feel like she kind of played Trump.
She did this both his State of the Union speeches. There was once the sort of mocking clap and right. Now the tearing of the speech. I mean, the speech was full of lies.
It was full of lies.
It was a
yeah.
fucking propaganda speech. And that's exactly what she should have done. And I, you know what? This is the thing. She is masterful. That's the only way to describe it. And then he was foaming at the mouth. Like, did you see this? They said that like he tweeted about the speech, only about the tearing of the speech, like nothing about his bullshit talking points. Yeah, so she knows how to definitely play him.
But it's still, I still think it speaks to where we are as a country that, you know, I mean, he's still the president of the United States. He still enjoys the overwhelming support of his party. And we still are looking at a situation where he could very well win in November. So I appreciate the gesture, but I feel like we need, you know, we need people to get mobilized.
And you know what else we need? We need to impeach again and again. Well, and keep impeaching until Republicans resurrect their sense of patriotism.
I'll tell you what we should impeach over. There was an article in the Washington Post this week that came from a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request. And what it exposed is that Donald Trump is having the Secret Service stay at his properties while he's there, and he's charging them upwards of $650 a night per room. So he has all these government employed people staying at properties that he owns, and he's charging the government, our tax dollars, $600 a night for, like, how is this? Can someone please explain to me how this is not a direct violation of the domestic portion of the Emoluments Clause? The Emoluments Clause says that the president of the United States cannot use that position to enrich themselves or their businesses. That's exactly what he's doing. I mean, this is a direct violation of the law. So I mean, fucking President Carter had to sell his damn peanut farm because he didn't want to be in violation of the Emoluments Clause. This guy just goes, fuck it. I'm going to have everyone stay at my hotel and charge them top dollar.
Oh, Ari, didn't you see this, that he divested from his business? Don't you remember that press conference on the basement of the whatever, one of the Trump properties where they had basically bought like whatever, General Mills paper reams and stacked them on piles and said, oh, here's my divestment. It's bullshit.
This is bullshit.
And this week, a federal court just dismissed the congressional lawsuit over the Emoluments Clause. Did you see this? They said, oh, they don't have a standing to sue because it's not a unanimous thing. Like, Trump has appointed enough of his cronies into the federal bench to be able to shield himself. I think that we are going to only see from, like, the Southern District of New York, which is investigating. I mean, this is probably, there will be 100 years of investigation into crimes by the Trump family, but they're investigating him for tax fraud, all these different things. It's exhausting to keep track of this criminal, you know, syndicate that is Donald Trump and family.
It really is. But, you know, this is truly against the law.
Ari, extorting, you know, foreign leaders and
true,
blocking congressional aid.
True,
and
all of it. I mean, even if they impeached him on this, I'm sure that they would just do the same thing that they did. It'd be another fucking sham trial as long as the Republicans are in charge of the Senate, and they would acquit him on it.
The Republican Party is basically now the human centipede. It's Putin, Trump, GOP. That's it.
I cannot believe you brought up the human centipede. Why would you bring that up?
Because that's what they are.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Now, that's going to throw me off kilter. Yeah, but look, it is what it is. Anyway.
Sorry for that visual.
The human centipede. Oh, God. Oh, but it's true. All right. Well, the only other thing I wanted to talk about before we move on was kind of also on the subject of false outrage. The Super Bowl was on Sunday, and I don't even know what the Super Bowl is. I don't care. I, whatever. But I didn't watch it. But then during the halftime show, I was getting all these texts about how amazing the halftime show was. It was Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, and they did this whole, like, it was, I mean, and so I watched it. They had it available immediately on YouTube. I watched it. I was like, oh my God, like, they were on fire. I mean, it was an amazing performance, the two of them. And, you know,
and political too.
Yeah. And it was political, but I mean, you know, it was also just amazing because these are two women, like, Shakira's 43, Jennifer Lopez is 50, and they were rocking it. Like, I mean, it was just, they were amazing. But then there was all this fucking false outrage from, I guess, a bunch of fucking, I'm sorry, but racist white people who were like, oh, the show was too sexy. The show was too scandalous. How could they have allowed that? Oh, my God. And Shakira did something with her tongue and Jennifer Lopez had a thong on it. Like, all this. And I was just going, this is the, again, it just highlights the racism in America. This is the fucking peak of hypocrisy here. Can we just talk about the history a little bit of the Super Bowl halftime shows? I mean, just a couple years ago, you had Lady Gaga in a bodysuit. No one seemed to have a problem with that. You had Adam Levine take his shirt off during the show and gyrate and have people grabbing his crotch. Nobody had a problem with that. I mean, it goes back to where that wardrobe malfunction happened with Janet Jackson. Justin Timberlake literally ripped her costume off, okay, and her boob fell out. There was no outrage towards Justin Timberlake. In fact, a couple years ago, he was invited back to the Super Bowl to perform. Janet Jackson, that almost killed her career. She was blacklisted. Radio stations wouldn't play her songs.
It's almost like there's a pattern.
Yes.
Let's think about the people who've been targets of controversy. What did they have in common?
What did they have
Janet
in common?
Janet Jackson, Jennifer Lopez,
exactly,
and Shakira versus Justin Timberlake and Adam Levine.
Right. Yeah.
And Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
I can't quite put my finger
on
it. What is it?
Right. And so I just think that this is just, again, it's just the fucking hypocrisy in this country. There was nothing scandalous about Jennifer Lopez's performance or fucking Shakira's performance. Like, people need to fucking check themselves. It's really, honestly, it's disgusting. It's disgusting to see. I mean, how many people actually, you know, but there was enough that, you know, shit was trending and the media was talking about it. So, you know, there you have it. But again, it's like,
well, you know what, Ari? Once the Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Handmaid's Tale regime has been fully installed, I'm sure we'll have the Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing at the halftime show. And then America can't be scandalized by anything.
Well, quite frankly, I think Mitt Romney would like that. I mean, he is Mormon, you know, he's a Mormon. But yeah, it was just, I couldn't. I just couldn't with it. I mean, it's just, it's such obvious racism, and it's just gross to me. So whatever. For what it's worth, if you haven't watched their performance, though, girl, I mean, they were on fire. And Jennifer Lopez, I swear, if I did that stuff on the pole that she did, I would pull my back out, my leg out, my neck out. I mean, she is incredible. Like, she is in such incredible shape. I can't even imagine what her workout regimen is like. She is unbelievable. You know, I think I've talked about on the show, I have that theory that she sleeps in the Hadron Collider because she's literally aging backwards. She's incredible. So I think that a lot of maybe the outrage, too, was quite frankly jealousy. I think people are jealous. I think people look at Jennifer Lopez and they see that she's this, like, you know, beautiful woman in incredible shape. And she's 50 years old. And I think a lot of people go, shit, I'm like 35 and I can't do that. And, like, I think people are genuinely jealous of her and of Shakira. And it's like, you just need to check yourself, you know?
And when women of color have power and agency, it makes a certain segment of America nervous.
That's right. And like you said, there was a real political element to it. Like, at the end, Jennifer Lopez came out with this, it was feathers. So, that was sad to see that there was a feather cape. But she came out with this cape at the end. And on one side, she had the Puerto Rican flag. On the other side, she had the American flag. And, you know, Trump has been so horrible to Puerto Rico. And I felt like it was her saying, you know what? Fuck you. I'm fucking Puerto Rican. I'm American and I'm here and I've got power and I'm going to fucking use it to say something. I thought it was a real political statement. I was here for it. I got to say, I was here for it.
Love it.
Okay. Well, with that, Miko, shall we move on to new vegan products?
Let's do it.
All right. Yay, new vegan products. Okay, so today we are tasting new vegan milk chocolate by Endangered Species. Now, we talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago in the vegan animal rights news segment that Endangered Species was going to be making vegan milk chocolate from oat milk and that these are exclusive to Whole Foods. So we stopped by Whole Foods yesterday and we found them. I found two different kinds. I found their oat milk and dark chocolate, which is a 55% cocoa chocolate bar. And then I found their oat milk, sea salt, and almonds dark chocolate, which is also 55% cocoa. Now, I love Endangered Species as a company. I've eaten their shit for years. Not all their stuff is vegan, but the great thing about their line is they do have a large amount of stuff that is vegan, and a portion of their proceeds goes to help save endangered species. They changed their packaging recently, and I'm not feeling the new packaging. It used to be that, like, each chocolate bar had a different endangered species on it. So there was, like, a lemur bar, there was a fucking elephant bar, there was a, you know, you get it. Now, what the hell is this? This packaging, I'm not feeling.
It's like an animal pattern with a seal.
I like the old packaging better. All right, well, let's try it. I want to just start with the oat milk and dark chocolate, and then we'll do the sea salt almond thing. All right, ready?
Very good.
Here we go.
Mmm.
Oh, chocolate. Okay.
That's really good.
Here's the thing. Oh, okay, wait, hold on. I am a chocolate lady. I love chocolate. I'm not kidding. I eat chocolate every day. I'm mostly a dark chocolate lady, though. This to me, and I haven't had milk chocolate in a million years because, I mean, I know that you can find vegan milk chocolate. It's just not as easy as just getting dark chocolate. And I prefer dark chocolate. But anyway, this to me doesn't remind me. This kind of still tastes like dark chocolate. It maybe takes the bitterness off a little bit, but would you call this milk chocolate?
No, I would say this is very good, but it does not remind. And also, I feel like milk chocolate is a little bit softer than dark chocolate. This is a really good chocolate. However, it tastes like dark chocolate.
It just kind of tastes like a dark chocolate bar that they maybe put like a dollop of oat milk in, but it doesn't taste like real, like the way I remember milk chocolate. Milk chocolate to me is softer. It's very smooth and
it's also like much lighter than this color.
Yeah, no,
this looks
dark.
Like traditional dark chocolate.
Right. I mean, I like it. Don't get me wrong. It's just, okay. Whatever. All right. Now let's try the other one. This is called Sea salt and almonds, dark chocolate. All right, here we go. Oh, I mean,
excellent, but okay. Same note, really.
I mean, it's kind of like the other bar. It definitely has salt in it, you know, almond chunks. But yeah, I don't know. I when they said oat milk chocolate, I thought we were getting like old school milk chocolate bar. This is not that. This is still, I think if you don't like, if you're not a dark chocolate lover, I don't think you're going to like this. I think that, I don't know. This is not what I was expecting. Do you know, are there other companies that do, I know that there are, but do you know what they are, the companies that do milk chocolate?
Rice Dream does, like that is, actually I've had Rice Dream's milk chocolate and it's good. It's made from rice milk. It kind of is kind of reminiscent of old school milk chocolate.
Can you, I mean, I never see it though.
I mean, I used to see it at Whole Foods. I don't know if it's still as widely available, but someone really needs to get on doing like classic milk chocolate from oat milk.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, this first one, I was kind of like, is there oat milk in here? Like, what's happening?
Seriously, the first one, I mean, they're both similar, but the first one, when we first tried it, I was like, okay, I really like this. It tastes like chocolate, but I would not, if you didn't tell me that this was an oat milk chocolate bar, I wouldn't know. I would think it was just dark chocolate. Honestly.
Yeah.
So I think that,
I will say this. To me, as a chocolate bar, excellent. As a milk chocolate bar, it's not.
No, I don't think that. I agree with you. The chocolate's great. I'm here for it. I love chocolate. Like I said, I eat it every day. But milk chocolate, this is not. Endangered species, if you're listening. Girls, what happened? I think you need more oat milk in here. All right. Well, there you have it. There's our review of the new oat milk chocolate bars by Endangered Species. Miko, what do you say we move on to vegan animal rights news?
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, everybody. It is time for vegan animal rights news. First story. Ugh. Okay. I have to talk about this. This was an article that appeared in The Atlantic. And they were talking about how there still is this belief among men that eating a plant-based diet will, this is the title of the article, will turn them into women. And what? Then the subtitle says, a viral claim that Impossible Whoppers would make men, quote unquote, grow boobs, plays into long-held beliefs about power and sex. And then he talks about how there's this, you know, fear among men that if they eat, you know, salads over burgers, they're going to, you know, I don't know. And like,
let me guess where this claim originated. Was this viral article written by the whatever the hell, the Meat Growers Association of America?
Well, the article actually criticizes it. And he quotes Carol Adams, who wrote The Sexual Politics of Meat. And he goes into the, so I don't think that he's like a meat industry stooge.
No, I'm not saying him. I'm saying what they're referencing here.
Right. Well, that's also an interesting story. This, okay, so the claim that Impossible Whoppers would make you grow boobs, this was done by some podcaster guy who then actually had to walk it back. Like he actually said, and it was like, you know, based off of bullshit. But I think that this speaks to a much deeper issue in society that I've thought about so much over the years, which is how fragile masculinity is. Like, there's this sexist belief that women are weaker than men. You know, that's like the, you know, it's this fucking misogynistic belief. When it's men who are the most fragile fucking, I mean, my God, like all of this stuff about being macho and a real man and all this, it's all bullshit. It's like they can't even eat a salad without fucking being like, oh, it's gonna take away my masculinity. You are so fucking fragile. Like, here's the real. All that shit, all that fucking misogynistic shit about women being weaker, it is pure projection. It's just projection. Women are stronger than men. I'm sorry, they are. Like, women are stronger than men on many different fronts. And I just think that, and what's so weird about this particular issue with regards to masculinity and is that it just shows you how toxic this, well, you know, you hear people talk about toxic masculinity, but how toxic it really is, because these men will go and eat foods that are literally killing them. Foods that exacerbate diabetes, heart disease, stroke, cancer, all of the nation's top killers. Foods that are going to fucking stop them from getting a boner. They'll eat those foods just to appear more masculine, when really what those foods are doing are making them feeble and not able to have sex. And it's just all because they're so afraid that if they eat kale in front of their fucking bros, that their bros are going to call them, I don't know, what, a sissy? Like, fuck off. The whole thing is so stupid. Like, it just shows you how fucking stupid this toxic masculinity is.
But have you considered also that it is, with animals, we see this very curious reversal of fundamental societal values. If you think about professions that we admire, thinking about sort of historically masculine professions like soldiers, policemen, firemen, who are all kind of men coming to the aid of the defenseless or the weaker. Yet when you do that via your diet choices to protect animals from abuse or from being killed, you're seen as weak. Where do you think that comes from? Where does that sort of connection loss happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, you know, and we could probably do a whole podcast on this, but I think that when I think of the positive attributes of, I guess, masculinity or whatever, it would be like being a protector and being courageous and standing up for those that are defenseless or, you know, whatever. But yet you see things like hunting, for example, going out and killing innocent animals as being like this hyper masculine thing, the way that our culture kind of frames it. And yet if you, I guarantee if you said, who's more masculine, the guy that goes out and hunts deer and shit, or the guy that rescues cats on the weekend, people would say the hunter. When meanwhile, that guy is a fucking asshole going out and preying on defenseless innocent animals versus a guy who's trying to save lives. So it is. I don't know why we're so upside down, but I think it leads to such toxicity in our world. And I feel like this article is, I was happy to see the article because I think it starts this whole conversation. The truth is, if you want to be a big, strong man, you better start eating some fucking kale. Because the more burgers you eat, that's just going to make you fucking weak and feeble, and you're going to have fucking heart disease, and you're going to... So, and if you want to fuck, we all saw... What's that fucking film? The Game Changers. We all saw The Game Changers. When they ate the meat, no boners. When they ate the fucking kale, boners all night long. So, men, you want to fuck? Eat some kale. All right. Next story. Miyoko's is suing the state of California for violating her free speech rights with this bullshit restrictive labeling. Now, this is, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The state of California said that she would not be able to use words like dairy and butter and cruelty free on her packaging. I mean, they were like coming for her. Now she's suing with the ALDF, the Animal Legal Defense Fund. She's suing the state of California, saying this is in violation of her rights. Good for her.
Love it.
Hope she wins this shit.
She will win. Absolutely, she will win.
You know, Miyoko Shinner is a fucking badass. Here, you want to talk about strength? This is strength. Standing up for yourself. Saying, no, I'm not going to fucking take this shit. Lying down, motherfucker. I'm going to sue you, motherfuckers. So I love that she's doing this, and I hope that she prevails. And this will be a very interesting thing to watch, because this is not something that's only playing out on a state-by-state level. This is something that's going to be played out on the federal level as well. There's already been bills introduced that are like these ridiculous like laws saying that, you know, oh, if you make a vegan milk, you can't call it milk. If you make vegan meat, you can't call it meat. It's ridiculous. So I'll be watching this, and we'll talk about it as the lawsuit progresses. Okay, also in the news with Miyoko's this week, she just launched a food truck that is going to be traveling the country and giving away 15,000 vegan grilled cheese sandwiches. Okay.
Nice.
This is to promote her new vegan cheddar and pepper jack. She has these new products coming out this spring that are like slices. And I don't know if you saw this, but she also introduced the product in New York. There's some restaurant called The Melt, and they do like all grilled cheeses. And I think they started using her cheese as their first vegan grilled cheese. There was like a line around the block.
I cannot wait.
So she is coming to Los Angeles with this truck. And you know me. I found the fucking Oatly truck. I found the Perfect Day truck. I'm going to find this truck, and I'm going to have some of these grilled cheeses. I think this is going to be delicious. So, all right. So she's coming to 17 major cities. Should I list them off so people can? All right. Real quick. LA, Oakland, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Boise, Denver, Austin, New Orleans, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, New York, Boston, Cincinnati, Chicago, Minneapolis. So if you're in any of those cities, look for Miyoko's grilled cheese truck. Okay, next story. Tracy McCurder just launched a new campaign to help 10,000 black women go vegan in 2020.
Amazing.
I think this is so fucking cool. You guys, if you don't know Tracy McCurder, you got to check her out. She's been vegan for over 30 years. She's also a very well-known nutritionist. She's written quite a few books on the subject. And this is something that she is doing on her own. I think the website's called 10,000 Black Vegan Women or something like that. If you Google it, it'll come up. And so basically what she's doing is she's highlighting the fact that even though black women, and she said this on, I was watching some interviews, she said, even though black women are the most progressive voting bloc, which they are, they still suffer from diseases more than their white counterparts. So even though heart disease is the number one killer of women in the country, it affects black women more. Diabetes affects black women more. And that all, these are all diseases that are exacerbated by our diet. So she is trying to inspire specifically black women in America to transition over to a plant-based diet to improve their health. And she's doing this through videos. She has meal plans. There's all sorts of stuff. The campaign is going to officially launch in May, but until then, there's like a weekend meal plan or whatever that you can download that kind of, you know, gets you ready for it. But I just have to applaud her for taking this on and for doing this herself, because I think that this is extremely smart. And I think that this has the potential to help so many people take back their health. So well done, Tracy McCurder. Again, Google it and check it out. Really cool stuff. I also wrote about it on Veganista this week, so you can check it out there too. I link back to it and whatever. Okay, next story. A judge in Maryland has upheld the state's ban on pet stores for sales of purebred cats and dogs.
Wow.
This was a federal judge. He threw the lawsuit out.
So this was breeders trying to sue to get the...
Yeah, there's some law in Maryland that you can't sell dogs and cats that come from like puppy mills and kitty mills and all that stuff. And so I guess the industry sued and he threw it out. So I don't know if this will be appealed, but I think that this is obviously a good thing for states and cities that have laws like this. We have a law like this in Los Angeles. So yeah, that's good. Good. All right, we'll see what happens. Okay, next story. Pret a Manger is dropping its surcharge for vegan milk in the United States.
Did you hear that, Starbucks?
Mm-hmm. That's why I bring it up. So I don't know if they still are charging for, you know, more for vegan milk in the EU, because I feel like Pret a Manger, do we even have that in LA?
No, I think in New York they have that.
New York, you see it everywhere. And in London, it's literally everywhere. But I think this is really cool. And I think that I wrote about this too on my website 2 weeks ago, which is, you know, Starbucks coming out with this big fucking sustainability announcement, and yet they're still charging more for vegan milk, which is obviously a deterrent from people ordering it. I think that Starbucks should get on board and should, at the very least, charge the same for vegan milk as they do for dairy milk, but even better, make the vegan milk cheaper. You know, if it's costing you more to bring in the vegan milk, charge more for dairy. Make it like a carbon tax. Okay, and incentivize people to get the vegan milk because it's better for the environment. But well done, Pret a Manger. Okay, next story. H&M is launching a vegan leather collection made from wine.
Nice.
They're doing, it's like.
Can we be suppliers to their need of.
It's like from the made from like the skin of grapes or something. I mean, this is like cool. Like we've seen a lot of companies doing vegan leather from fruit. There's the pineapple leather. I read somewhere that they're going to make leather from mushrooms. And then I read somewhere apples. And so now they're using like. I don't know. I guess the skin from grapes to make leather, and it's from wine production. I mean, I would say that the two of us are definitely holding up our end to make sure that this is a reality.
Yeah, like a quarter of their California-based wine grapes comes from
H&M,
with our help.
If you're listening and you need, you know, someone to consume the wine, we are here.
Like the Vegan Ari Show is brought to you by H&M's new wine.
Leather collection. Right. I mean, you know, speaking of which, we have not done a Chardonnay show in such a long time. And that is something that the people want. So in the next few weeks, we should really just
we should commit to it,
drinking on the show.
Maybe
again.
It should be every week. All right. I'm open to that idea.
In the meantime, look out for some vegan leather, wine leather from H&M. OK. And finally, my last story of the week. SeaWorld says it is going to be ending its dolphin surfing shit. So this is like, if you've seen this, people like riding on the backs of dolphins and on the face of dolphins. Now they're saying like, oh, we're not admitting that these were, you know, harmful in any way, but, you know, but we're just ending it, you know, to do. And like, you know what, SeaWorld, fuck off. You people have these poor animals living in these bathtubs. I mean, I'm glad that you know, this one thing is, you know, being done away with. Obviously, no fool in their right fucking mind should be surfing on a goddamn animal. That's ridiculous. But SeaWorld is just a horrific, disgusting place that no one should be supporting. So I guess progress, but I don't think we're going to really claim victory until SeaWorld is either shut the fuck down or they get rid of all of the animals.
Right. I was going to say, I was hoping that the headline would be SeaWorld is ending.
Oh, I wish.
That's it. That's the headline.
I mean, it almost did. Like, quite frankly, you know, after Blackfish came out, their stock was plummeting. And then sadly, what happened was at the time, the HSUS president, Wayne Boselli, then struck a deal with them and went on all sorts of talk shows with the president of SeaWorld. And it was a disgrace. And really, I feel like undercut this groundswell movement to shut SeaWorld
which
down.
Would have shut it down, yeah, if it had not been Wayne Boselli.
It was really sad.
And his catastrophic failure, yeah, of leadership.
It was really sad, you know. And then, of course, Wayne Boselli was then disgraced a couple years later during the Me Too movement, you know, and was called out. There was, you know, had to resign. And so, yeah, it's sad that SeaWorld is still in operation. It's really sad. But, you know, maybe this, you know, end to the surfing is one step closer to them saying we're not going to use animals anymore. I don't know. I think that SeaWorld is such a despicable organization that
it's, yeah, so stupid.
I won't
again
be holding my breath.
This place could, you know, become the first ever marine park to use holographic animals and actually invest in doing what they claim that they're doing, some sort of like marine conservation efforts. Actually, put your money where your mouth is, create holographic animals, or shut the fuck down.
Yeah.
And first you're going to create those sea pens.
But you know what? This is the thing. I remember when Ringling Brothers shut down. I was so shocked. Like, I didn't think that I was going to see that, you know, in my lifetime. And then all of a sudden, I remember I was like home and flipping through my news, and it like came through on some like news outlet that I'd never heard of, and I wasn't sure. And I like texted my friend, and Ringling Brothers, this was a couple years ago, was shutting down. I couldn't fucking believe it. So you never know, you know, we have to keep up raising awareness about how animals should not be kept in these conditions. We need to keep telling people not to go to SeaWorld. And who knows? Maybe one day we'll see that headline, SeaWorld shuts down. That would be wonderful. Okay, Miko. Well, with that, we've come to the end of another show.
I want more stories.
I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to wait until next week. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We love doing the show, and we love you guys. If you want to, I feel like I said the word trash a million times in the first segment. Did I say trash too much?
Well, we were talking about Donald Trump.
Like garbage person, trash. I could think I said
treasonous garbage sack.
Anyway, if you like our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do so on Twitter. I am at Vegan Ari. Miko is at Miko Alon. Or use the hashtag Vegan Ari Show. Tell us your questions, your comments, your concerns, all of it. We're here for all of it. And if we don't hear from you during the week, we will talk to you next weekend. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.